happened to be in the library today. There's a sefer from the Oyel Yitzchak, it's a little compendium on the Geshita. He made another sefer rare on the Beyer, and traces possibly later. He has in the Hagdome, Tinoyim Loheiroe, La'elu Shalohigi Loheiroe. Alright. The next item on our agenda is the writing of Iksuba for an adopted child. Now I have both, I think the materials that you have at least once upon a time. Yes, there is item number three. The materials are still here, but it says not in packet.
So it was taken.
I'm sorry?
Just the last,
the rest. No, the bottom of the motion,
yeah.
It's in brackets, not in packets. So. Oh, just the last one's not in packets, I'm sorry. How come?
When somehow that puts it back, so
okay, that's fine. Mr. Farrell, since we're covering the rest of it anyway.
Yeah.
I eliminated the discussion of adoption. I don't know if it was really supposed to be part of this or not supposed to be part of it. Adoption has nothing to do with Seder Kedushin. Except when you have to be Masada Kedusha or somebody who was adopted, at which point you have to paskin whether he's kosher lohi b'kol or not kosher lohi b'kol. So that I'm not going to talk about because it would take the whole session, but you have all the materials there. The only thing that I would say is that your shailas will begin when you're told that the adoption agency guarantees it's a Jewish baby. I don't think the adoption agency has the manas to say any such thing, but that's a different parasha and that's a different child. Obviously, if the child is not Jewish, then the child needs gerus, and if the child is Jewish, you may have a problem of a shtuki. The mother was Jewish, you're told, you don't know who the father was, so she has to say lakosh and avalti. The easiest solution to that problem, methodologically, is to pass when the child is a goy, in which case he's gerus and he's kosher lohi b'kol. That's all the things that we're not discussing today, because that's the other material, and it's ma'im shenlo hamsoyis. Now the question is, you have a child that's kosher, and you're now being mesader the ksuba, and what do you write in the ksuba? So, number one, you're dealing with an emotional issue, and actually the shaila will arise long before your misad or the tzuva. The kid's going to have a bar mitzvah, and given the nature of the world, the adoptive father would like to hold himself out as the father, in quotation marks, and the shaila will be with regard to aliyahs for the kid. What's he going to be? Is he going to be called a pleni ben pleni amet, or is he going to be called some other way? The problem that the Masada Kedushin faces is that whoever was the rabbi in the shul with the kid with bar mitzvah has been getting aliyahs hopefully on a regular basis, decided that he didn't want to mix into this, and what difference does aliyah make anyway? Call him whatever you want to call him, except that later, when it comes to the ksuba, now we're dealing with serious business, and if he's been called by the name of the ma'ameitz, he may have created problems. The problems that you have created are the technical shaila. Everybody knows you be Mishana your name. That's the standard. The standard, but that's one of the segulas. If somebody, Le'aleno, is sick, and one of the segulas is to be Mishana Shem, and you change the name, and the Nusach, the Elvin is in Pliny Nigzar, but on Pliny Nigzar. New name, it's what I call the halachic equivalent of a writ of habeas corpus. In effect, your petition is a bet mishamai law. You pass sentence on somebody else. This is a new person, and therefore you got to reopen the case, and maybe this time the decision will be more favorable. But there are a number of ways in which you can be Mishan Hashem. One way is the simple way, that he's no longer Reuven, he's Shimon, or now we don't do that anymore, instead of calling him Reuven, we call him Chaim Reuven, or Flo Reuven, or Alto Reuven, or who knows what. We're Moisef, and they instead of being Mishanda. The other way you'll find it in Sefer Hasidim, and it's not negated here, but I did speak about it in surrogate motherhood. The other way in Sefer Hasidim says you change the patronym, you change the father. And how do you change the father? You, and this they did because of school in those times when people, unfortunately, children died in early infancy, and it happened in the family several times for whatever reason. They were afraid there was a gzeira on the family. So they got themselves a good friend, and the friend came with a bottle of wine and a loaf of bread, a whole loaf of lechem, a whole loaf of yayin. You take the wine and the bread, and the child becomes mine. Almost like the hocus pocus in the Pidyon Haben, which isn't on our topic. But I assure you, the kohen can't walk off with the baby. That's not in the card. And the new father can't walk off with that baby either. But it was another one of these schoolers, and it was baby selling, only it's the kind of baby selling the district attorney isn't interested in. You won't get prosecuted for that. Nobody does it anyway, but that was in effect. I'm certainly citing that as a way of changing the patron and the shema, at least for the purposes of Bez Mishal Ma'ilu. Apparently, Sefer Hasidim thought that from now on, it was Nigzar on Pliny ben Pliny, but it was Nigzar on Pliny ben Almeini, and now that you bought the child, you're the father. A kind of a adoption in quotation marks. In serious havayna, well, I shouldn't say serious, but in things that are more negay alaloch, because after all, my general principle is that the mesifta derekiyas and the mesifta d'ara, the same rules apply, at least in by allegory, but it's not necessarily the case that works in everything, and this may be one of the cases where it doesn't work. There's a three-way machlokes in Achronim with regard to whether or not you can be matzik, a new shem, to your father. You can change your name whenever you want to change your name. And lahavdil bidinehem as well. You want to call yourself Donald Duck or Mickey Mouse, as long as it's not for purposes of fraud, you can call yourself whatever you want. I mean, if you want legal documents to be changed for whatever, you need a court order. But for any other purpose, you can call yourself whatever you like. They learned it from us. That's called Shinei Hashem. I can be Mastic, whatever name I choose, as long as you do it properly. And if you're Mastic in the name, that's the name which sticks for purposes of Git and Kiddush and what have you. Now, the Shaila is, can you do this with regard to your father's name? Your father is whatever your father's name was, and now you want to change the father's name. Can you be Matzik Hashem for your father? I think I mentioned when we spoke about shameless laws what I discovered in Moscow, that there were Bali Tshuviv who were called Chaim ben Avram, Yankiv ben Avram, and the father's name was Alexander, the father's name was Vladimir, who knows what. And you ask him, where'd you get the name Ben Avram? There's a Kenim to Bet HaKnesset, because you got to have a Hebrew name. A Hebrew name is Ben Plainy. So they were matzig a name for their father, and now they want to sign a gift. And that's a separate gift. That's where you find the Machlokes, it's not Brady.
That's
the Masik Hashem Kodesh. But if you be Masik Hashem, you can refer to Hashem as Hashem also. For the purpose of being Masik yourself, or then whoever that is. So there's some who say you can never change your Baal Bos on your name, not a Baal Bos on your father's name. And there are others who say you can change it, but only your father is dead. Then he's no longer Baal Bos. I presume you would say that you inherited the right to change the name. I don't know that it's, you know, something kohe that is Jerush on that, but okay, he's not here anymore, so you're the Baalim. And those are exactly the Hepif. If he's alive, you can be Masik a new name. But if he's dead, why be Masik? A name for a Nifty? You can't be Masik a name for a Nifty. You've got to be alive to have a name. Dead people don't have names or whatever. I don't know exactly. So that's the problems that arise. If somehow he's as Pliny Ben Pliny, but he's not Ben Pliny. He's not Ben Pliny at all. That's only going to complicate it. I don't have any explicit truth dealing with a Ben Umot who was already Eilu L'Teira for a period of years with the name of the Ma'ame. It's all the sources that I have. They deal as if this child has just walked in for the first time, and unfortunately they're dealing with such circumstances. Now, if the person had a bar mitzvah and wasn't shul since then, that's not called being Masik Hashem. And I don't know what happened to the person. We'll worry about that in a second. But so that the case of whether we're Masik one name, I don't have explicitly in these sources. What I have are a half a dozen different examples or twists on the adoption issue. you have the adoption issue, which arises in one in a variety of ways. A, it's a non-Jewish child, and you were Megayer the child, and I don't think I have to say very much about that, although later I will come back to it for other reasons that have nothing to do with dry aloha. And again, I should be mocked in this. You're dealing with a highly emotional issue. The emotional issue is, particularly if the pendulum has begun to swing. These things are mudders, as they say in Yiddish. It's a matter of fashion. There was a period in which the whole establishment, quotation marks, psychologists, social workers, and what have you, stressed the need to treat adopted children as if they would be your own children, no difference. An adopted child, a natural child, it's all the same. And it led to people trying to suppress the fact of adoption from the child. You had closed adoption. The child could never find the natural parents. Now the pendulum has swung to open adoption. I haven't even spoken about whether you're allowed to participate in closed adoption. Remember, Rav Moshe says, particularly dealing with Jewish children, that's an issur d'oraisa to adopt a child if in the process you are mishakeach the Shem Ha'av or the Shem Ha'aim, that he says is an exer against having two wives in different ports. You're not supposed to have two wives in two different places. One family doesn't know about the other. That's a molah or a zimah. It's an issur d'oraisa, Rav Moshe says. Without Rav Moshe, I tell you it's an issur d'rabbanan, but he said it's an issur d'oraisa. Why do I care if it's having two wives and two ports? The shaila was there was Shem Yisachas Achaisa. If you adopt a child and don't let the child know who its natural mother was, natural father was, the child can grow up and marry a half brother or a half sister, or maybe a full brother and a full sister. That's also b'chala mor zima. Mele, in even going back to the old days, and still exists, closed adoption. By the time you get the baby, you're not doing anything. The adoption agency may know the natural parents, but they're not going to tell anybody, and they certainly have suppressed the information. But that's part of what's happening here, and there was, during at least that period, and it's not totally gone by any means, there was a conscious attempt to be fuzzy about all of this and to prevent the child from knowing that the child was adopted. Now it's considered to be psychologically unhealthy, you're supposed to be open and honest. The pendulum swang into the other direction. I saw a little vignette someplace or other. Now that everybody tells everybody everything, you have this little anecdote, a three-year-old child who's adopted, and as happens, for reasons I'm not going to talk about, you have a previously infertile couple. Once they adopt the child, they suddenly are able to have their own children. That means the infertility was psychologically based in the first place, but now they have their own child, and lo and behold, it's a natural child. And the baby is born, and the older one, the adopted child, goes to its mother and says, "Poor little baby. You didn't choose him. You chose me. You're stuck with him. Whatever comes, the pendulum is. You stress the positive in the adopted situation, but you're still dealing in the world in which there is a certain reluctance to admit the fact that a child was adopted, and it is not at all inconceivable. And 20 years ago, it was rather common for children to grow up and even to marry without knowing that they were adopted. And there's still a reluctance to have these things become public knowledge, particularly under the chuppah or in shul. Yamin, habachar bar mitzvah. Lo and behold, it's not this father; it's a different name. Whatever the name is going to be. That's why you've got the problems that are the psychological problems, the emotional problems, and the tzoros for the rov. The rov always has tzoros. He's always the bad guy. Not that it makes any difference to me, but I once gave a shiur in my shul about adoption. It had nothing to do with any things we're talking about, theoretical things, and I mentioned, but I'm going to tell you now, the name of Rav Henkin. Rav Henkin is one of the swearing rights that if they would listen to him, the the adoptive children would call the parents not mommy and daddy or father and mother, but aunt and uncle, because it's not a father, and you don't want to call them by the first name. That's not nice, obviously. So the solution is call them aunt, call them uncle. My father was an Eitzimuchukemis on the father of our grandkids. That way, there's no confusion that the child doesn't think it's his parents. He grows up knowing that they aren't his parents, but of course they're not people from the street. So he's calling him aunt and uncle. It's a term of endearment, whatever. The people, you know, the shilas now law that we're not going to talk about is whether there's an issur of kibbutz or nishuv, whether an issur of yichud with adopted children, and that's again, that's beyond today's topic, but those are serious shilas now law. But I had a couple who adopted with the child, and when I made the point that an adopted child is not a natural child, and they're not nachmias in halacha, and that it's not healthy to try to suppress this information, and what happens when the Baal HaBos doesn't like what the Rav says? He goes down. It's a different shul. That's the world you live in. Fine. it's the Rav's fault. It's never the sources that he cites. He's responsible. Okay, so now we are at the chuppah, and we've got a problem with how to write the names in the chuppah. First case, which is the easiest in terms of halacha, is when the child is non-Jewish, or for purposes of halacha, you are makri, he's non-Jewish, and he had gerus, and now you have to write Ben Avrom or Vinu or Pliny Hager. Now, there's a Beis Shmuel, and if it's not clear in the Beis Shmuel, it's a get poshut. Beis Shmuel's in Kuf Yud Tes, it's got an Lamed Tes. If there's some ambiguity in the Beis Shmuel, by the time you look at the get poshut, it's a Dovah poshut. So at least for some Achronim, if you do not indicate in the get that the Baal HaMagarish or the Misgareshes is a ger, it's possible. And that's true in a ger tzuvertzuv also. It's somebody else. A ger is a ger. If he's not identified as a ger, then he can't be this person, because this person is a ger. So that in the case of a non-Jew, it's pretty clear that in the tzuvah, you're going to have to indicate that he's a ger. And what else, we'll see in a second. Maybe there's another way to smooth over ruffled feathers, but it should clearly state Ben Avrom Ovinu, and finish. That's an easy way to deal with all of this. And there's no way to change that. You can't be mafsig yourself as a non-ger. You can call yourself whatever you want, then whoever you like, but the tzuvah's got to say you're a ger. And that's how you indicate the fact that he's a ger. The other problems arise in a case in which you're dealing with, quote, a Jewish child, close quote. And there are precious few of those around today. I don't want to go into this. But the greatest or the most significant sociological phenomenon since the Industrial Revolution, l'anias daiti, was the invention of the pill. The pill has changed lots of things. We'll talk about one of the other things that's changed before we finish today, but it also has meant that there are no Jewish children available for adoption, or at least precious few Jewish children available for adoption, because the mothers don't become pregnant in the first place. And if they do become pregnant, now abortion is legal, and these people become pregnant, don't exactly go ask shilas whether you're allowed to have an abortion or not, which makes the whole adoption scenario very, very problematic. And I don't want to talk about that, because even among non-Jews, A, there are pills, B, there's abortion, and if you're still pregnant and having a baby, what's wrong? I mean, that's the question you have to ask, and usually there is something wrong, and that leads to things that are not terribly happy for the adoptive parents, but that's not my problem. Now you're dealing with a non-Jewish child who has been adopted, and your problem is writing the tzuba, or now we're dealing with a child of a Jewish mother, and the issue is how do you write the tzuba. I'm assuming that you've taken care of the shtuki problems, which are the hardest thing to take care of, because she's Jewish, and the father is either non-Jewish or Jewish, and supposedly you know all of this. And there are differences with regard to the ksuba, with regard to whether the father is Jewish or non-Jewish. If, yes?
I was wondering, in the Gemara, it says Mari Bar Rachel.
Yes.
So
this is my next sentence.
He
qualified
as mother.
Right. Instead of Avraham Avinu. No, Mari Bar Rachel, he had a Jewish mother.
Yeah.
He wasn't the ger.
No, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
He was only a ger in terms of
Non-Jewish
right?
Yeah, good, fine.
So
Yes. A ksuba or a get of a child who is not a shtuki in halacha, maybe a shtuki in mitzvah, but a shtuki in halacha, you write the mother's name. Simple. If you know the mother's name, assuming that you know the mother's name, which is not terribly likely in these adoption situations, and the mother is Jewish and the father isn't, then you write Pliny ben Plinys. You don't write ben Plinys if the father was Jewish. That's when you begin having problems. Now, how many babies have been adopted in the last 30 years in this country since the chuppahs are going to be evolving people who were adopted in the last 30 years? How many people were adopted in this country who had Jewish mothers and Jewish fathers? I suspect you can count on the fingers of your hands, but you've got to deal with the problem. It can happen sometimes in intrafamilial adoptions, usually involving a tragedy of one kind or another. I had at least one such case, but it wasn't an intrafamily problem, but it was a different kind of a problem. But it happens, but it happens very, very rarely. So now the problem is, and how do you write this ksuba? There are several different ways of dealing with this. I'll give you first the Likutei Meir, then the Minchas Yitzchok, and then the Igros Moshe, and the Beis Ovi, and then Lani Azdaiti, what to do, and I'm sure you'll be thoroughly confused when you're all finished. But there are several ways of dealing with this. If you have the mother, and you don't know the father, but know the father was Jewish, the simplest way is to write Pliny ben Nishan Ishtakach Shemayim. He's got a father, we just don't know what his name is. That's a perfectly good way of identifying him, more than that, you're not going to believe. Pliny ben Nishan Ishtakach Shemayim. You realize, of course, that this is not emotionally satisfying to anybody, but that's the simplest way of doing this. What do people really want? They really want to use the name of the adoptive father as the child's father, but that is simply not true. No, he's not the father. Let me say at the very outset that if you were to write the name of the adoptive father as the Shem Ha'av B'dieved, it's kosher. It's kosher. Everybody quotes the Maamar Chazal, Serach Bas Osher, but she wasn't Bas Osher, she was Bas Eishes Osher. So Kol Magadol Yosim Tefesa Kilu Yelodai. So the Kilu Yelodai is enough not to pass with the Evan. It doesn't mean that's what you're supposed to look at too. Yet. Well, you do not use the mother's name when the father is Jewish. It's a siman that the father's a non-Jew. You don't use the mother's name when you have a Jewish father, so either you have his name or Ben Mishnish Takach Shema.
You have to call him up the Torah also by his mother's name?
What, should you call him up to the Torah Ben Mishnish Takach Shema?
No, in the case
of
the father who's not Jewish.
Rav Mori Baruchel, that's how you say the
Torah.
Yeah, what's wrong with that? They don't like it, I know that. But you know, if you could do whatever you wanted without offending people, you'd call them Pliny Ben Pliny. It's good that they're also. Nothing wrong with it.
The father and son became a get.
Both together. Who says so?
There's no use.
Right, of course not. Both of them have been Avraham Avinu. Yeah, the same. Now, the first solution, and what sounds like the simplest solution, is Rav Meir Steinberg. He was a member of Lubavitch Beis Din. He wrote a little sefer on adoption and gerus, and it's probably chronologically the oldest of these sources. He says to write Reuven ben Shimon Hamigadloi, and not only that, he puts Hamigadloi in parentheses, or a variation of that, not his but others, Reuven ben Shimon Shegidloi or Shegidloi Keben, take your choice. Those are three variations of the same Eitzah. The use of parentheses I already spoke about last week, even though we're mentioning a different context, also advises using parentheses. Parentheses are not part of our alphabet. We don't generally use parentheses, so if you do it, it's without parentheses. That is not the best solution by any means. He's not Reuven ben Shimon Hamagadloi, because there is no such thing as Ben Hamagadloi. What this year, it's kind of an allusion to Maamar Chazal. It's not the way to do this. Then comes, that's Lukutei Meir. Then comes the Minchas Yitzchok. The Minchas Yitzchok said to write, Pliny, the Misperi, Pliny, Ben Pliny. You have the father's name is Reuven. I'm sorry, his name is Reuven, the father's name is Shimon. So his name is Reuven. You write Reuven. Says he, the Misperi, not Hamachlunah, but the Misperi. There's no reason why you have to know these klolim for a ksuba, because in a ksuba you don't write kinuyim. But you have to know in the get that if you've got two names in the same line, that you write the Misperi. If you have a Shem Kedush and a Shem Laz, then you write Hamachlunah. The Laz is Hamachlunah. In this case, we've got a Hebrew name, so it's a Misperi. Pliny, the Misperi, Pliny ben Pliny. He's really Pliny, but he calls himself Pliny ben Pliny. Not Pliny, the Misperi ben Pliny. That you will find in some sources is an error. Pliny, the Misperi ben Pliny creates more shilas than it solves. Because, translate the words, he's Pliny, and they call him ben Pliny. Nobody's called ben Pliny. That's not his name. He's called Pliny ben Pliny. So you have to chazer it over. You have to repeat his name, because the Misperi ben Pliny is incorrect. Again, I don't want to bore you with things that go beyond this, but Gedolim v'Tovim Mikem have Ilonias Daiti made such mistakes based upon an incorrect reading of a Maariv. There are times in Gittin where you say, instead of Ano Pliny, you say Ano the Misperi Pliny. The Maariv uses that as a solution when there's a Shaila. You could use it again in the Ksuba too, except you have other ways to deal with the Ksuba. You don't know if the Shem Kedush was Nishtaka or was Nishtaka. So I told you last time to use the Shem Laz. Don't play games. The Maariv, there was a Shaila, what was the Shem Maariv? What was the Shem Maariv? So he wrote, Anot the Mystery. It's kind of a giveaway. They call me this now. Whether it was a different Shem Maariv, or was a Shem Maariv in the Shtakach, we don't know and don't care. You don't need more than one. We've indicated that this may not be the Shem Maariv, because I know the Miskari. So there are some Misavri Gittin who seem to think that if you have the same Shaila with a Shem Ho'ov, you can write, I know Pliny the Miskari ben Pliny. Maariv never said that. You have to recharge it over. I know Pliny, the Misperi Pliny ben Pliny, or something of the sort. But that's, here you've got mamish this problem. There were some people who wrote with regard to adopted child, right? Pliny, the Misperi ben Pliny, and that's an error. It should be Pliny, the Misperi Pliny ben Pliny. That's essentially the Minchas Yitzchok. With these two variations called Minchas Yitzchok A, Minchas Yitzchok B. Comes along Rav Libis in the Beis Ovi, and he says, this is all very nice. If he's Misperi, do you call him Pliny ben Pliny? People don't sign their names Pliny ben Pliny, and in their job, they're not called Pliny ben Pliny. Nobody uses the Hebrew name. You use the Hebrew name when you're Eilu L'Tayr, making Mishabera. And this is a first who was never in shul in his life, or hasn't been there since his bar mitzvah. How can you write Ano the Misperi Pliny ben Pliny? He's not called Pliny ben Pliny. Never called him such a name. So he says you can't write the Misperi unless he's really called that. So that eliminates this neat little solution if the person wasn't Eilu L'Tayr. Now, the Mitzvah Yitzchok does solve the problem that I threw out at you before that nobody talks about. And what he do if he was Machzik himself as the son of the Ma'amates, and people think he's the son of the Ma'amates? This, I think, solves the problem. I know Pliny, the Misperi. Everybody calls me Pliny ben Pliny. They call me that guy's son. I may not be his son, but they call me that. I think that's a perfect solution to that problem. That's if he gets Elias that way. If he doesn't get Elias that way, then you've got additional problems in how you're going to write this. So we have an Igros Moshe. And the Igros Moshe also have several different tshuvas with different solutions. In one place, the Igros Moshe says it was the case of a Jewish father, Jewish mother, Reuven ben Mish Nishtakach Shemoi, which would have been perfectly fine as far as I'm concerned. We'll stop right there. Except that people want more than that. V'nikro ben Pliny shegidloi. That's his nusach. I would amend that. I think he missed the word. I think we really meant to write Reuven ben Mishnishtaka Shemai V'nikra Pliny ben Pliny Shegidloi. You have to repeat V'nikra Pliny ben Pliny Shegidloi. And obviously under the chuppah you don't have to read all of this, but you need a big enough blank to write in all the names. So again, I think the Beis Ovi would disagree if the person isn't receiving Elias, because he's not Nikra. Nobody calls him Pliny ben Pliny. Now, in the last form, the Igros Moshe, he was dealing with a woman, a female, and he says to write Pliny bas Pliny Shegidloi Kabas, which is a variation of the Likutei Meir, which I spoke about before. And if you're dealing with a non-Jewish father, you can use something a little bit differently. You can say Pliny Shehechzik Atzmai B'Shem Pliny Ben Pliny. You can you can speak about him being masked himself explicitly with a different name, even though that's not the name of his father, or better, this person isn't the father at all. So that this is already where I'm entering the picture. I think that one of the ways that you can do this is to use Pliny Shehichzik Atzmai B'Shem Pliny Ben Pliny. That makes it very clear. You can also add, if you like, Pliny Shehichzik Atzmai B'Shem Pliny Ben Pliny Shegidloi. And that's perfectly good in the case of a non-Jew. In the case of a Jew, I would prefer, Jewish father that is, Ben Mishnishtakach Shemoi, the Hichzik Atzmai B'Shem Pliny Ben Pliny Shegidloi, which is the longest possible device you can come up with, but it incorporates whatever anybody has suggested. That way I think you've covered absolutely all the bases. I would prefer Pliny Shehichzik Atzmai B'Shem Pliny Ben Pliny, or I'll give you a simpler variation. Again, this is me. Pliny Ben Pliny Shehichzik Atzmai K'Ben Pliny. That I think is simpler, and it's true. It's exactly the truth. He's plainly no father. I don't know who his father is, unless I know he's Jewish. So I write Mishnishtaka Shmoy. Shehechzik is Atzma. He held himself out as Ben Plainy and as Shegidla. You know why? He calls himself Ben Plainy. That's his adopted father. All these solutions are going to make people feel happy. Maybe they'll be less insulted if you do it this way. And obviously, under the chuppah, you're not required to do any of this. Read whatever you want. Yes.
They don't care if you're just writing the air.
Hager.
Yeah. I mean, not calling or something like that.
They're not wrong. What's wrong with
us? No, let's say the father will come and want from it. Just write, Ben something Hagod.
Hagod? Not a good, that's for sure.
No, the father.
Who would be the Sadak Dusha?
The father.
The natural father. No. Oh, you're talking a different case. Not an adopted kid. You've got a Jewish child, a Jewish mother, and a non-Jewish father.
Yeah. No, so I think if it's...
Don't even try to accommodate the ghost. Why? If he's insulted, somebody should be insulted. Maybe not the ghost. The mother should be insulted. So what's the point? What do you want to do? She has to get out to make the Ben HaGoy? What for? Sorry.
I mean, if it's intermarriage, it's got to be prepped. I mean...
She's got a mother. The mother has a name. So I use the mother's name. It's finished, can't it? This is religion. This is Judaism, and he's not Jewish. How can you complain? You're using a holy name, Hebrew. It's the one that you remember last time. It was a name that was given with Dvarim Shekhikusha. The name is Sora. She calls herself Susan. You're writing Sora. This guy doesn't know anybody named Sora. He knows his wife is Susie. And you're suddenly writing Babat Sora. So this is some kind of sacerdotal instrument. Now, of course, it's got to be drafted in accordance with ecclesiastic law. Every stupid good knows that. Why would you be insulted? It's only the Jews who are insulted. The Jews aren't insulted.
It's interesting what had a Jewish father when he was
out.
And
how long there is no such thing as that. But of course there is. Only it's not a formal institution. In Roman law, you had consanguineous relationships and prohibitions attendant upon adoptive parents and adoptive children. And you could change things with a... there may be adoption for purposes of tiyuvim, of child support, what have you, but certainly not for Yisrael Be'ater, and not even for Yerusha.
If he had a Jewish father, then you would call him by that Jewish...
And he knows who the father was. Again, usually when you surrender a child for adoption, the child doesn't know the Hebrew name of his father. Even if he's had open adoption and he knows his father's name, he's unlikely to know the father's Hebrew name, assuming the father knows the father's Hebrew name.
These
people usually are not susceptible to raising the claim that it's the father's Hebrew name.
If he does know the name.
He wants to write the real name.
Once he writes the fact that he's adopted.
Why? Nechatesa, that's his name. That's who the father is. No, that's no problem. Yeah.
Read
under the chuppah whatever you like. The easiest way is to skip the words you don't want. You have Pliny, and now you've written Ben Mishnah Shema the Hefsek Asma Pliny. So you skip the words in between. You write read Pliny, then Pliny, and then you don't write your Gidla. You want to do it that way. No, what you read is irrelevant. We haven't talked about the ksuba yet, but the reading of the ksuba is number one, shamosis. Number two, there's no difference whether you read the ksuba or the stock market tables of the New York Times. Today in America it's become a kibbutz. I don't know what the great kibbutz is. You have to show everybody you know how to read Aramaic. Unfortunately, many Masada Kiddushin don't. They make mistakes. But it's only to be mastered from Erisin to Nisui. You can be mastered to get Drasha. The Drasha is longer than the Kriya Saksuba. So what you read there doesn't make the slightest difference. Elamai, you don't, you midbar sheker tirchok. These white lies to make people happy. That for that they're enough to tear my look. They're not worried about the Dvar Sheker Tirchok. That's not a problem. I'll soon show you in another case where the Achronim say it almost explicitly. Okay, enough with the adoption. It took too long anyway. Now we come to Bavim Seinu Harabim, something which will unfortunately occur a lot more often than adoption. Incidentally, what I've been saying about adoption also applies to artificial insemination using semen other than the father. If the semen donor is the husband, then you rely on that little smack that this yichus v'chule, I think v'aloch is correct, even though the Birkiyesiv cites people who disagree. But if you've got an artificial insemination using a non-Jewish donor or even a Jewish donor, Rahman al Islam, the husband is not the father, and all you can do is mess things up. Okay, let me go on to what Bavim Seinu Harabim is more likely to occur, and that's Bu'ulas Atzmai. And again, that's thanks to Zepil. You have more cases of such things because of the existence of the bill. And this now leads to the problem of what do you write in the ksuba. First of all, can you write psulta? She's clearly not a psula. And number two, what does she get? Mone or masai? Now, you have a number of things in the readings. There's a Sam Sefer, there's a Shuvah of Bamberg of Yad HaLevi, and the Igris Moshe. Now, first of all, we'll come back to this afterwards, but there is such a thing as a cheskas psula. Besides being a cheskas kashrus, it's a cheskas aguf. Unless you know otherwise, there is a presumption that the kala is a psula. There are, however, circumstances in which you would have to be extremely naive in order to rely on that kind of a chazakah. Again, Bavim Seinu Harabim, if you know the people have been living together under the same roof for a period of time, and the giveaway is when they present you a marriage license, which has not only the name of the chosen, name of the kala, but the address is the same, that's generally indication that they set up residence before. Under those circumstances, if everybody knows this, it doesn't make very much sense to write Sultado in the Ksuba, I don't think that you should. When it's public knowledge, I'll soon show you, I think that's what the Adelaide means in half a line that he included here. When it becomes a Chucha Vitlula, I don't think you should write Sultado. But otherwise, when it's clearly plausible issues of Sultado, you can write Sultado, and I'll explain why in a second. Now, that comes with a kind of a caveat. Again, I would say that the Eidim who know that she's not a Psula, I don't think the Eidim should sign. And if the Rov knows that she's not a Psula, I don't think it should be an Eid. Let him get two Eidim who don't know. They can rely on a Chazok. If he knows differently, then it's a kind of a certainly messy Kishikra, although I will show you Achreinim who say it makes no difference. They can sign even though you know. But I know there's something else that's going on here. It's called, if I may borrow a term from some other source, scandalizing the faithful. I mean, I don't think that it's appropriate for a Rov to sign his name to something that every balabos who hears you reading Ketsuva knows is a shekel. Even Don Halacha, maybe Mutter. This is Sefer Titein Emes Liyakov, which I gave a new title, Titein Sheker Liyakov. There's a second edition. I don't know how many there are in the second, but the first edition, there were 75 tshuvas in the second part of the Sefer that were 75 heterim for Sheker. So, there are places where Sheker is mutter. That doesn't mean that every time the Sheker is mutter, you're supposed to tell a Sheker, and the Baal HaBos should know you're telling a Sheker, and he doesn't know any chokhmas. And I don't think that you should place yourself in the position of being a laughing stock, so that Eidim don't know, they can sign. But why should the Rov sign if he knows it's not true? But let me go back now to this problem. You have, again, the Shaila divides itself into three categories. One, she's a Bula, but the boyfriend or one of the boyfriends was not Jewish. In those cases, I think that you should write Be'ultado, absolutely positively. You don't have to read Be'ultado, but if you are aware of the fact, she was made it. If she was made that she was nibble to an akum, I think you have to write Bultato for the same reason you write Yurtato or Amatato. You write that she's a Gerusha or a Geiris, so people should know she's also a Kohen. And that's part of what the Ksuba is all about. You take out a Ksuba and it says that she's a Psula. I know the husband died. The Masada Kedushin, at least Mikadmos the Noah, didn't have to ask any more Shilas. Of course she's Kosher to Kohen. She has to wait 91 days. She's not born. She can get married. But he pulls it out and says Psulkado, and she was nibble to an Akum. She's also to a Kohen. Who's going to go ask 30 years later? 50 years later, who knows how many years later, whether she's Mutter Tukain, not Mutter Tukain, when she's Nivel La'akum, I would in all circumstances write Be'ulkado.
Now, you
don't have to read it, right? Don't have to read it! Definitely not.
Can you read B'sulta in that case?
Why should you read B'sulta? Read nothing. I mean, again, you can read B'sulta, though, Baal Peh. Worship stuff. You can be Mishaneh. This is really for God Mishvocheh. You can certainly be Mishaneh, but it's not even necessary. I don't know the difference. Don't read the word Sultana. Plenty plus plenty, mumble it into whatever. Don't use a microphone for the Sultana. We'll talk about microphones later. But that's when it's an Akum. If he's nithal to a Yisrael who is not the Chosen, then basically she's only entitled to Mona. No, more than that. So I thought entitled to Messiah. Now, finally, Ramesh has to choose, so I gave you both of them. I'm sorry?
You can't write the Ruta.
She was nibbled to somebody else.
Right.
So what are you going to write? Psul to do and write Mona?
No.
That you're not going to write.
Not a Surah.
Of course, not a Surah.
Right. If you write the Ruta,
then people that raises a red flag. Then someone's going to ask, and who are you nibbled to before? I wouldn't write, but I don't think you have to write the Ruta there either. I'll tell you what to do in a second. Now, yes?
So I was just wondering, if you go to college, isn't that a break of the Surah?
Why?
There's not a shuva that says that in Europe, in roughly the oral in colleges, and then anybody can sit in your college.
Call Hanifnes the gymnasium to boil the hegel and fill it. Where would you have such a shuva? We'll talk to that.
I heard it a few times when I was there. Numerous people brought it there.
You were where?
When I was in college, I heard it a few times.
What's that? Shuva!
For women, they quoted it. A few shuvas. Well, then I think Scott and Rob had a shuva on it.
That's not what I'm saying, but I just, in general,
the answer is no. I mean, there are, I mean, that's for sure, there are fine Jewish girls who went to college, and Baruch Hashem, they're Russian shavers, they always were. Just because they went to college means that they had to be towards the
religious. Non-religious people became
Bali Chuva. Non-religious people became Bali Chuva later, will tell you right away. And that's, you'll know it immediately, they'll say it, they'll tell you. And the question is, well, am I not, you know? We'll talk about all that in a second. Yes. You want to know primarily whether it's Mutasakoi or not Mutasakoi. And the Bali Chula is the first animal where they, you know, the first thing they're taught. I don't know the teachers are. But they all know they're also Chula. Every Bali Chula knows they're also Chula. I mean, how many times have I, without asking, a girl, Shidduchim, the first thing they tell me, but not a Chula. I didn't have. I mean, I wasn't, you know, as far as I'm concerned, if I have a prospective question, who's a Chula? I've got to ask then. Why do I have to ask in advance? But they know it. They all seem to know. But yes.
But there's one more question, if you don't mind. Isn't also a din of Aminos, if you shaker that she's a Sula and she's really a Gula?
Yes, that's the question.
Yeah.
I'll come back in a second. But the basically, if she says she was nivel to Nakum, it's a shavi anafsha. She becomes also tzoi. And the melee, you know, see, she's halacha also, so therefore has to be indicated. Now, in the case where she was nivel to somebody other than the chosn, and the chosn knows about it, obviously the chosn should be told because he's not mechuyev to give her to mosayim. He's not mechuyev more than a monet. Plus the fact that konsul becheskas psulo, if there is such a chazoket, he says, and discovers otherwise, you may have other problems. But certainly, and that's in the Ravashis Tshuva to a Balas Tshuva, the first one to back there. Balas Tshuva, whatever she wanted, and everything else, she wanted to know whether she should tell a date that she wasn't a Tshuva. And he tells her not to tell her the first time, the second time, or the third time. But of course, you have to tell her. Now, in that, it finally, we have two Tshuvas in Ravashis, and this is the later one. The later one, he says, what's obvious? And that is that if the chosn knows and he's perfectly willing to write mosayim, so what difference does it make? It's no worse than places ksuva, which is again. So you write mosayim, and even the chosn l'tim midraisa, because the difference between the rabbonon and the raisa is not, you know, the ksuva is not there to tell you halachis. So if you ksuva the raisa, the rabbonon, to be machriya between a machlekes rishonim, that's not what the balak ksuva was doing. The difference is which coins. There's zuzim that are the coins of Kumish, and there's the sketch of Tzuri, sketch of Medina, and one is eight times bigger than the other. The one to the raisa is eight times more than the rabbonon. Four times, whatever the figure is. Again, I don't know if I mentioned it's in the list. Rabbi Kellmer made a sefer, what's it called? Ksuva Mufereshes or something of the sort, a little perish on the ksuva, word by word, explaining the whole ksuva, and in the back he's got the value of the different coins of the Kesef Rabon, Kesef Reisha. Rav Avadi Yosef is Marish Eloma, he's about a terrible Ashkenazi, the Sabri Kedushman of the Torah. They get a chosn kalif and they from Mizrach, and they write the chos ilusi midiraisa, and the svarim machriyah they say midravon, and the tshuva tshuva rabon like the Rambam, and they're writing the chos ilusi midiraisa. Now he's being right if only if the Masada Kedushin doesn't give the chosn the option. If he tells them, look, the Ashkenazim, the Svardim, they give Kafakach, and Ashkenazim, we give Masayim, the Rice, it's more, it's a lot more. If your mask can find, then it's no problem, as long as the Chosn is Slova, the Kido, what's the problem? Says Ravisha, and if you write, the Chosn knows she's a Bulon, he wants to give Masayim, fine, to which he adds, and you can even add the Chosn, Lachim, the Rice, because he's not passing Halachis. What he means is, I'm a Chayiv myself, the Zuzim, the Rice, the Shkolim of Chosn. That's all that the chos ilchi deraisa means. So if he's willing to accept it, fine, there's no problem. That really resolves the problems totally and completely, both with regard to someone who is nivel to a third party, as well as to bulas atzma. However, the others talk about the shaila, what's bulas atzma entitled to? Is Bulas Atzma entitled to Mosayim, or is Bulas Atzma entitled to no more than Nona Mitzad Hadin? Now, first is the Sam Sofer. the Tzam Sofer says he hoyisi noyim, which I find a strange expression. I thought it was our problem. And he writes hoyisi noyig as if he had more than one such kufit. The Matistar, the very word, there was a bulas atzmei rachman ol islam before the kufit. I mean, today we seem to think, you know, we live in a morally degenerate age. But I, you know, once upon a time in Freshtur, near Akedush, this should have happened, and he should write hoyisi noyig. He says hoyisi noyig to write mosayim only. He saw a dogma of Ovis, so now he changed. Now, he had, and that one minute, now he's changed it. Now he's writing only 100. And Tzam Sofer says to write, not to write bul tador, but to write plenis tador. Mona and Plenistado. Plenistado, those of you who speak a Litvish and Yiddish, I don't know if there's people around, but in Litte land, a man referred to his wife as mein Plenistado. That's Aramaic. Plenistado. And that's what you say? Plenistado. There's this woman. Or Itzado. It's all the same. You don't have to write Bultado. What's the point of writing Bultado? She's Garshal Akain. And you're right. She's not an Almona, not a Gieris, not a Grusha. So what are you going to write? She said, write Plenistado. Now, the Shaila there was, he says, he used to write 200 because this is Mefutas Atzmai, and he thought Mefutas Atzmai is entitled to Mosayim. Till he saw the Dogma of Ovis and said, no, only a Nara, which is pretty obvious, I would think, but if she's a Begera, she's not entitled to Mosayim Yikar Hadin. But a Nara Mefutas Atzmai, this is the Knas of a Mefata. It turns into the Ksuba Mayagim Ren Aloch Mayar Habesulot. Reb Moshe has the same kind of a tshuva. He quotes a Mishnah Lamelech who says that for the Rambam, even though Ksuba is a Drabonon, but the Ksuba of Mefute is a Deraisa. Because that's the posting of Mayimar and Eloi Lisha. Not only that, she's entitled not only to Mosayim, but she's entitled to whatever the minig is in the city for a psilva. Our minig is a Tesis Tzuba, and that raises it's a minig of Lua. That's Kamayar HaPasula. So she's entitled Mitzad Adin to whatever a kosher psilva gets. So that's the Mishnah Melech. Or Moshe doesn't agree with the Mishnah Melech. But Rav Moshe has another mahalach entirely. The Yad HaLevi, just before we come to Rav Moshe, the Yad HaLevi, which you have there, is a short little tshuva, short on lomdus, but it's, you know, long on the practicalities. He says to write bultata, not like the Tzam Sofer. Tzam Sofer says, don't write bultata. He's right, what for? That's what he means. Don't write it, there's no reason to. The Yad HaLevi says, write bultata. And why should you write Mosayim instead of Mona? He says Mosayim. Why Mosayim? Shloi tehei chayte nizkar. I don't know what that means. At least not if I had only the other lady, I certainly wouldn't know what it means. Let me show you chayte nizkar. You're making your own gezeiros here. So what they did, whatever they did, and it's her tough luck as much as his tough luck. If she's not only to a Mona, why should you mechuyev inside of din Mosayim? Rav Moshe has a different, I don't know if this is what the Yad HaLevi meant, but Rav Moshe has a different mahalach, and he claims, at least in the cases that he was talking about originally, that she's entitled to Mosayim Mitzad Adin. And that, he says, he starts with the case which you find in Afreini, a woman who's meichel or tzuva, and she can't live with her husband anymore, but he writes to a new one. But Roy Tafarini maintains she's still entitled Mosayim the second time around, not just Mona. Why should she get Mosayim? She's a Buddha. So, says Rav Moshe, it's because it comes from the same issues. That's where you start with this. This issues was Machayiv Mosayim, and it's going to be Machayiv Mosayim for any ksuba that arises from his marriage. So he was dealing first with the Sui Arkois, or before the Sui Arkois, he deals with Cotton, who's Mekadesh, or a Ger and a Gieris who were married before, and now they're married the second time, Kitas Meshach Yisrael. So he says, all of these people are a kind of Aldas Nisuin Rishaini. Now, he took her as a wife, she was a Psula. So he certainly wants to have the same kind of Psula as once upon a time. But again, we can't spend time being menateach every line of the tshuva, but he seems to be totally in the rotsna, the chosn, kind of an umna. What does the chosn want here? And he says that in those cases, certainly he wants whatever it was originally. So in a cotton, you would write mosaim, even though by the time it becomes kedusha deraisa, she's a bula. Geir and the Geiris, if they marry the second time, you write mosaim. And he says if they got married by our chayis, he wants to be a chayit in this guy. I think that's where he uses the lesson. He wants to be Niskar because he went to Akkoyas before. Now he's a kosher chosn. He wants to get married to the best man in Israel. He's apparently about Shuvas. He doesn't want to take advantage of the fact that once upon a time he was Nagarian. So he certainly wants Mosai. That's how Ramesh approaches all of this. And he thinks that you should write Mosai under those circumstances. And he says you can write Psua, because in the case of the woman who was married to Tzuba, you would write Psul to them. What does it mean? That she was a Psula at the time of Nisir Rishani. The Ger of the Geras, she was a Psula at the time of the Nisir Rishani. Mechule here at the time of Nisir HaKoyish, she was a Psula. So you can write Psul to them also. However, he says, write the Chazilati, not the Rice. Here he says not to write the word derisive. And in the later tshuva he says, write derisive if you want, because the chosn is mekabel it. In the early tshuva, apparently the simple notion that the chosn would be mekabel whatever he wants, he didn't put on into writing. It didn't occur to him, I don't know. Therefore he says, write the chosn, not the chosn, the derisive. I gave you the second tshuva first. Once you have the second tshuva, the first becomes totally superfluous. The lundus in the first tshuva is totally superfluous, because you have to tell the chosn anyway. And once you're telling the chosn, tell him, look, you don't need to be embarrassed. She doesn't have to be embarrassed. And who makes a tumult about the ksuba anyway? We'll write like we write for everybody, even though you don't have to. Another person has to. I don't give him a choice. But you, I'm giving a choice. I'm giving you good advice. Write Mosaim, the Chosin, the Chim, the Reis, and finish. And as long as the Chosin is Mekabel, there's no problem. As long as it's done with his acquiescence, there's no real problem. Yes?
Even though I thought that anyone's not called Batis, it's called Isha Zona. And from there that the Gioris, whether or not she's a Gesul or not, she's the Pesmas, not Gesulis. And I thought every Gioris had a Mea in her Gesulis.
Of course, then we're thinking that Ger Shinosa his own Gioris. He was married to her before. That's Ramesh's case. He quotes sources.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean that's extraneous to us. But what he's saying is, his paradigm, where he's got solid sources, is the issue of Meichel or Tzuba, which he then extrapolates from that all the other cases, including Nisui Arkoyes, and I'm going a step further. And if it's Bulas and Mfutas Atzmai, once, you know, he says it also. He wants to say this in other offerings. The Mfutas Atzmai is, he says, like the Dogamer of Vova Voloi Mitameh. It's Tzmosai because it's what he wants. Sir? I'm sorry, yes. He says, but he wants to give him Mosai. Right, okay. Not because a Mefut is entitled to Mosai, but for a different reason. That's what I meant, La Mitame. Okay, that's, and again, I just add one cautionary note, and that is, I hear that they now sell maternity wedding gowns. I mean, again, if a bride is wearing a maternity wedding gown, I don't think you should write Sul to them. Under any circumstances, even the chosn is maskil, because I mean that would sound almost as if you're accepting immaculate conception, and you don't want to create that kind of impression. All right, okay, yes.
Is it possible to briefly review the three cases? So we started with nevel ala akon, nevel ala aher, nevelli, and nevel ala atmo.
Yes.
So, nevel ala akon.
Nibble Akum the Tsuba is Nay, don't care, you can write whatever you want. You can
give
Kabul or whatever he wants. It's the Jeff Red Bull to go.
And I don't think Red Bull to go. Now I'm just a little questioning about this.
I mean I would write Nay. If I'm writing Bull to go, only a person.
So you shouldn't make it zero.
Yeah.
Can you write Itzad on that case or just Dog?
No, I don't think so. I think that there's Akbode that again it doesn't possibly serve. Right? This is all because. But again, I mean, Shaloi Lahakshila and Losses Mahoy, the next one is Lahakshila. I think that if you know she's nivul akum, you should write it in the tzuba. How do you write in the tzuba? By writing
the tzuba.
Once you
don't write the tzuba, isn't that enough? Mm-hmm. So, as Rebbe mentioned earlier, to raise the fishing flag, that any rabbi is going to look into it and see if it's the last question.
Maybe. But these people don't know what the difference between itzuba and bulzuba. These people generally don't know what bulzuba means. Right? So you're relying that the second side of Kedushin is going to be a PKF, we'll see if there's something wrong here. Bultadol is going to be a full map on this guy. It's the dog, whatever, no, I hope they'll understand. Again, I keep talking about this side of Kedushin. The Einai Reisi, a Ksuba, the side of Kedushin was the person whose name you would recognize, he's no longer living. And he wrote the Sultadol and spelled Sultadol Bei Sama Vol. Not once, but three times within Ksuba. I mean, look, told you the base Yitzchak, the Hayrois, La'elu Shlo Higiel. I would be as explicit as you can be, and Bultadol is the most explicit way. You're right. If you wrote Plinton from Istadol or Itzadol, that's enough of a.
In the second case, where she was an Nivola Acher with a Yehudi Kosher.
Right.
So there, the recommendation of the Sam Sefer was to write.
He wrote Mona. No. He doesn't talk about that. He talks about the Wakasna. Okay. Apparently, even in Preshburg, they didn't have boyfriends. It was only the Chosn. Whatever happened after.
So Nivola de Acher, in terms of what to write, to identify her status.
You can write that's the second tshuva of Moshe, this Balas tshuva, who is nivel to Yisrael Kosher, and she wanted to get married, and Moshe tells her, tell the chosn, and then let him write.
And you could
read
Mishan.
Yeah.
And
apparently,
the
tshuva
is the same issue.
They
make
her
eventually only have one
head, but he can survive on
the
one
side. So they have the greatest leniency to write the Sulta,
right.
Although you could even write it in the second case.
Right.
And in terms of the Messiah, or Monet, that's already the Ramosha and the Sanskrit from Adur Rishona, they are the maker of Din.
Right. And in the Dogmar Volta,
only a hundred.
And the Akra Chazorah, the Sanskrit holds the Din is only Mela.
Only Mela.
Right.
And everyone agrees, if you go to the Sanskrit, what would you
I said, I'm giving you the last part first because I don't know why you wrote it right the first time.
So the only time you really have to insist to write both of those is when you go through the thing. Otherwise, you're
right.
Mashan,
I
can't even write, not just read, but write.
Right.
Normally, that would be passing from the Aveira itself.
I agree with you. I don't think this way of thinking is going to make sense here. Again, I agree with you. And I think even, I don't know what he means. I think even Rav Moshe meant it was only an aimed das of what the Chosn wants here. But the Chosn's not trying to get away with an extra 100 zuzi. I mean, that's the only expense he has here. That's on his mind at the Chosn. And that's what Rav Moshe means. Well, what's the profit from this? He's not looking at the profit. Okay, now we're finished with the Ksuba, or we're not really finished with the Ksuba. One more thing about the Ksuba, and that is the Kaninos. I gave you a whole English article on the Kaninos in the package. I don't want to spend a lot of time on it. I know it is the minig of virtually all Masada Kedushin to write the Kanino after their Makabal Kinyan from the Eidim. They fill in everything, then you've got a photo op. They call the photographer, and the rov usually gives the chosn a handkerchief, and then you write the word the konino. Why are they writing the konino afterwards? If you ask anybody, they'll tell you because I've got to write it before. It's after there was no kabbalah skinya. If that's your problem, I don't know how you feel about anything else either. Before I don't know how you sign it. He says that kach omar habibil into. And Tzvias, Mora Tzvias says, Bahavos please into, she's already married. She's not already married. This is a sheker. It's a blatant sheker. Elamai. No, even after it's signed, it's a sheker. The Eidim are signing, again, Min Yerushalayim is you sign after the Erisin. That's all very nice. That's Mini Yerushalayim, trying to stop after Erison, and they make the Kavod Kinyan under the Chuppah, and the two Eidim sign, you read it, and then you go to Shepherd Brothers. We don't do that. We do the Ksubah before Erison. And it says in the Ksubah, the Tzavias Moras, she became his wife. Tzavias, you can tell me, means whatever it means. But Vahavis, she was. It's past, the past tense. She, after I signed, she's not his wife yet.
It doesn't
count after you sign it either. You can't be making a moment with this.
I mean, that's why. I mean, the star itself doesn't mean anything until it's signed. So
you're missing one little point. It means something not when it's signed. This is a run in Gittin. Every star, not only a super, but ordinary star filling, is what a logician calls an enthymem, a syllogism that's got a hidden premise. It means that if you see that this star is Yetzei Mitachas, the person who is being saved through the star, you will know that what in the star is true. Until the Malva has the star in his hand, you haven't the vaguest idea whether it's true or whether it's not true. It said the Eidim are made that as long as it's in the Chosin's hands, it means nothing. If the Kala produces this, you'll know that the Chosin gave it to her. And no Chosin will give it to her, she's not married. That's what it means. It means that Kishi Yetzi Mitachas Yodo, this and this is what happened. If that's good for Bahavis Lidlintu, then why isn't it good for Vakanina also? Besides, there's only one sheet in Tosfos that says that that's worried about Hashim Lenefzik Yishikro in anything except the Maisa Bezdin. And this is Nivna Hashim Lenefzik Yishikro. There's no reason not to write the Kanina first. So why am I emphasizing this? I mean, why do I begrudge people a little Chumras? I don't begrudge them the Chumras at all. Just that I know what happens. The Masada Kedushin has other things on his day, including the photographer who's draining the skodik and the caterer who wants to get on, or who knows what's going on there. The result is that they take their pictures and they sign, and then they forget to write the kanina before the scene is waiting. And now you've got a problem afterwards. You can't write it just afterwards. You have to kind it. So unfortunately, if you wait until afterwards, you're likely to forget. Now, either one of two things. Either write yourself a little note not to forget, or rely on your zikaron, or at the risk of somebody thinking that you're a cow or something, you can even write it before it. Mr. Farrelock, I think I told you something. I gave you a copy to somebody. Nothing different from what I'm telling you. They saw it happen too often. And he says, stop this nonsense. Write to the Kanina before. I've never seen anybody write to the Kanina before. But, yeah.
Does Rebbe have any advice in such a situation that happens where the leader of the Tzuba finds out that...
Yeah, he's done to the Chuppah.
Yeah, so what should be done at that point? Is there any quick answer?
I'll talk about that when I talk about Chuppah Achashkiyah Sakam. At this point, I don't know whether you have a possible Tzuba. You don't have a possible Tzuba. You don't have a If you leave it out altogether, what is it? It's a blank space. If you have a blank space, you got problems. What to do with it afterwards? We'll talk about what happens for Chuppah Achashkiyah Chachama. We wrote the Tzuba before, but the simplest way is to write a new Tzuba with the same agent. Take back the old one, but that you're not going to be able to do before the Yichud. What I would do, what I would really like to do, I would do that for Chuppah. A new Tzuba. Community Yerushalayim. I would take it. Yeah, but it's going to make a tumult. People, particularly the first year in the Shtetl, you don't want to make tumults. When you're a Zokin, you should be Shiva. You can do whatever you want. The simplest way would be to tear up this one. The Eidim was there, and the Eidim see you tear it up, and write a new one, write the Kanina, sign it. But it'll make a tumult. So don't do it. Okay. Yeah.
So therefore, even though in your article you write about the fact that the ring is something that they didn't do in Bava, but they did it with the star rather than the ring, that even though the ring is Suba, having Suba over to the collar does not affect anything when you start.
I didn't talk about the mysterious Suba at all yet. Okay. Right, that's the second part of the article. Of course, the second article, I don't remember. The mysterious Suba I didn't talk about.
I just want to know if you want to go back to that mitzvah, or you just say don't.
To be back to the mitzvah, absolutely, positively.
Okay.
Okay. But I explained why.
Yeah. I didn't finish the article.
No. It's absolutely austere and the chupas need it.
Right.
Now, we today, again, about 50% of all chupas are chupas need it. And if it's not 50%, so it's 30%. So you want to make a public announcement that the chupas need it, and that's why there's no mysterious exclusion. I mean, I don't really understand it. I know where it came. They give you all kinds of reasons. I quoted all the reasons. I say why you want to be it. It's a shtarchleiv. A shtarchleiv doesn't need edim mesirah. And this is edim mesirah. And they give you all kinds of reasons. Those are expo factor reasons. The real reason was Sinish Kapas. The Rav wasn't going to hand it to the Caliph. He didn't want to hand it to her, so he gave it to the person. Whatever, and well, I don't know whether it was chupas nida, not chupas nida, whether it was careful, he wasn't careful. Maybe it was a chupas nida, he didn't give it to the chosim, but from this it became with the zarar of this business of Nasira by the chosim, and they call you at the Eidim should watch the Nasira. I don't know what you've gone through. Somebody told me a new time that I didn't have. They did it because you can't be geiver with the star until soif ayoyim, and with edim nasir you can be geiver from tefilas ayoyim. I need edim nasir to be geiver from tefilas ayoyim. I don't need edim nasir to be geiver from tefilas ayoyim. All I need is her to produce the tzuba and to have any two people who are in the room who says that he doesn't need that. He doesn't even need that. All she needs is she can't get from shabbatim. She never get from tefilas ayoyim. And from b'nei chayirin she can get simply by producing it. And the edim who were present were there. Even the edim, I don't understand. For tchilas hayim, it's not going to help you from shibodim. And for bnei chayim, I don't need the edim mesira for bnei chayim. The whole thing doesn't make sense. But all right, it happened. That's not what I was talking about. I was talking about the v'kanina. So again, the v'kanina. If you've got a good memory, you're not going to forget. So fine, write it afterwards. Otherwise, you're likely to create trouble. Now, one other, again, the Mesira Saksuba, we already spoke about, so I don't talk about it anymore. They gave you the article. Today, it's a new Chumra. It didn't exist 30 years ago, I can assure you. Now, they tell me Reb Chaim did it in Bris, but, you know, even in Yeshiva's weddings, it didn't exist 30 years ago. But it's one of the new things that has come up. And to me, it's a chumra that's the cooler, whatever the chumra is, but it's certainly also for the chosim to give it there if it was a chupas nida. So forget about not wanting to publicize the chupas nida. The result is they do it, the chupas nida, which is even worse. If Masada Kedusha doesn't know what he's doing, he'll tell the chosim to do it, the chupas nida also. Yes.
So then the
chosim
also shouldn't give a second coast to the kala as well?
Of course not. The chosim doesn't give the coast to the kala. The Masada Kedusha, look, in the old time Rabbonim, who didn't want to hand things to a woman, he took the place, he gave it to the chosin, he took it back from the chosin, and he gave it to the kala's mother. And the kala's mother gave it to the kala. He didn't care if she was old. That's what they did. And I'm telling you, that's what they did.
Father,
they gave it to the mother. And that's what he did, you know, what's... The whoever's reading the ksuba, she hand to the kala. Let the kala give the ksuba to her mother. But the case they gave to the mother usually, they know how low. You can give it to the kala too if you want.
Did everyone mention why the ksuba cannot be used with the star producing?
Was
there the other basis for that?
Yeah, I wasn't going. I didn't want to be married. But there are some people who claimed that it was a fail-safe device. If the kesef fusion fails for any reason, the tadas isn't his or who knows what, then you have a star producing. And I don't see that this operates as a star producing. It's not in the Nusach of Ishtar Kedushin, it doesn't say Yarem Kedeshously. It's written as a secret Dvorim, it tells you something that happened that's not the Ishtar Kedushin. It's not written in Lishmo. Ishtar Kedushin has to be Lishmo, Lishem, Lishem, Ishus. It's not. I don't see how in the world this can possibly operate as Ishtar Kedushin. It doesn't seem to.
Ishtar Kedushin, right?
Sorry?
It doesn't affect the transaction. It doesn't sell the land.
Sodai Mukhura law is Ishtar Kenyan. That I need Mokharki Lachos or the Zues Moil, that's not a Star Kinyan. That's all it is.
The Star
Kedushin
would basically say that, like, you're
Harim Kedeshously. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah, like the Nusach we get. Instead of saying that the Pachu is Shviki, it's a Mikavish with this piece of paper. That's Nusach. It's a performative utterance instead of a memorialization of past events. This is telling you a matter of history. That was Lilintu. That's I said yesterday. You know, I write a get this way. Kachwa ano pleini. Amarti li insi pleinis pas pleinis. Amarti haret megreshet. I said it. So what? That doesn't make this a star gerish. Of course not. No. One other thing I left out, and that is important, and that is that in the text, or the printed text, you will find a blank for the name for the city, which we spoke about last time. You have to write the name of the city. And in addition to writing the name of the city, you've got to write either Irplaining or Mosaplaining or Plaini Mosa. Now, why do I say Ir? I don't know of any source that says to write Ir instead of Mosa. In the get, you write Mosa. The only reason I mention it is because you take the Nachal Shiva, who has all kinds of forms, Lidugma, he has in every one of them Ir Umbar. Coming from Umbar, instead of writing Mosa, he wrote Ir. That's perfectly fine. If you're writing Ir, then you write Ir before Mosa. You don't write Umbar Mosa. Now, here, when you write, and write Mos, and again, the Nusach does not have the word Mosa there. You've got to add Mosa. You can't add Mosa unless it's a city. If it's a Kvar, don't ask me now to define a Kvar, but if in, I don't think there's any place that's a Kvar anymore in this country. You write Kvar, and if it's not an Ir, it's not a Kvar, so we'll have a problem. We'll talk about later. What do you write? That's the Orach HaShulchan, which I think I gave you in the package. Now, the real problem is how to write this business. Do you write Mosa Pleini or Pleini Mosa? If you take a look at the Shulchan Aruch Kuf, yes, you write the Kesvin Mosa Pleini, Veleichte Pleini Mosa, Ela Mosa Pleini, etc. To which the Bishul says, that's when you don't write the names of Nahoris. But once you write the names of Nahoris, so you write Ploini's Mosa, the Asphalt Nahar, Ploini, etc., etc. Now, what's the difference? The difference is, if you're dealing only with the cities, you write the city, whatever the name of the city is. If you're writing Nahoris, so you write the city, I'm sorry, write the name, the city which is sitting on Nahar Ploini. Then the Asphalt Nahar Pleini goes on the word Mosa. That's where the Mosa comes afterwards. So that's the Beis Shmuel. Now the Ramah says that you write Mosa Pleini. You can write Noritz. In Exuba we don't write Noritz. So in Exuba you should be writing Mosa Pleini. And frankly, that's what I would do if there wouldn't be an Igros Moshe out there. Comes the Igros Moshe, and the Igros Moshe points to a Bir Hagro. He says, he brings a whole list of places, and he says, "Kosav change paid the on Mashkosa before Tzvak Pliny Mosa, Sura Mosa, etc., etc." The Kol Hagit Nohayekris Muhatila came. Vafa Gavsh Umru Mosa Machzia. So Rav Moshe says that his girl is Kodlik on the Beis Shmuel. Beis Shmuel says you write Mosa afterwards, only by Yishem Noritz. And the girl says that in Gitna Hoya Kesrim Hashem Mikoidem, and you write New York Mosa, not Mosa New York, even though you're not writing the Shemes of the Noritz. So says Rav Moshe, the fact that you want to know how to write a ksuba in New York, there's a machlokes the Beis Shmuel and the Groh. The according to the Beis Shmuel, you write Mosa New York. According to the Groh, you write New York Mosa. And how is he mafriya? Like the Groh, of course, because in Lit it was not at all uncommon to be mafriya like the Groh kineged the Ramah, and he's mafriya alosh. You write New York Mosa. No. So, you know, the first thing, I raise my eyebrows, and if I have Hungarian person, who passed in Ritzin Diad Ramor against the girl and everybody else, so for him I can write without any problems, Mosa, New York. Lanias Daiti, Ramesh is right, there's a Machlekes to the girl and the Beis Shmuel, but I don't think he's right with regard to Ksubas. The girl is Medaik in his Roshan. He quotes the Gemara. The Gemara says, look, they wrote Mosa Machzia. I mean, they called it Mosa Machzia. They called it Mosa New York, not New York Mosa. What does the Groh do with the Gemara? He says, Mikom mocking begitin hoyukaisvin. In Shtori Chlev, what did they write? I don't think they wrote this, that in Shtori Chlev. It says, begitin. And all Israelis are from Gitin. Why Gitin? Because in Gitin there's halacha of Sefer, the cost of law Sefer Krisus, and all kinds of halachas of Sefer. To write Mosse after the name of the city is not one of those halachas. But it means that there is a formal way of writing and there's an informal way of writing. A get is written the way you write a book, not the way you read an igereshalom. A person writes a book, he goes over what he wrote three times. When you write a friendly letter, you dash an email. You dash off whatever you want, and you don't look at it twice. You don't go correcting your language. When you're writing something formal, you write a ketikun svarim. A get is ketikun svarim. They were careful with it. And this was the erudite language, the proper form. We don't always speak grammatical English, and certainly not grammatical either. When we talk, we allow ourselves all kinds of liberties that a professor of English will not allow you on a composition. No, that's why in Gitin Hoyu Kaisvin, but otherwise they wrote colloquially. So that the Gro Lanias Daiti is the Daikin's Loshen and his Chalik only Gabi Gitin. I don't know that you have to go out of your way to write most of New York. But. Huh? No, it's Gitin. That's where it is. Mele, again, you're going to deal, whatever happens, you're going to have raised eyebrows. The first eyebrow will be raised writing Mosse. Unfortunately, the people who are not Yedin, Betit, Ksuvus, they leave out Mosse altogether. So if you write Mosse, that's the first raised eyebrow. And if the person doesn't raise his eyebrow because you wrote Mosse, because no, you're supposed to write Mosse, they'll raise his eyebrows because everybody knows, or Moshe says, you write New York Mosse, not Mosse New York. So that means that if you're dealing with people who don't know anything, you can write Mosse New York, and they'll go, again, you can write any way you want. Mosse New York Mosse, it's not, certainly not Nakid. I don't even think it's Al Chachila which way you write. But the Mosse should be there. Without Mosse, it won't passel, but that's not how you write. That's how you tell whether the person knows what he's doing or the person doesn't know what he's doing. It's one of the ways you can tell. Now, the problem is when there's you're not writing in a kfar, or you're not writing in a city, so you can't write Mosse. Now, that can happen, and it does happen, even in this country. The Aruch HaShulchan had the problem in what he calls a kretchen, which I presume is what I call a kretchmen. A kretchmen was nothing more than an inn. Jews, particularly in Poland, had a monopoly virtually on inns, and you had yeshivniks. They lived out in the middle of no place. There was nobody around, not even certainly no other Jews. They were the only people there, and that's because the Torahs could trust the Jew. The Jew could read and write and do arithmetic, so he could keep his venus. The Jew wouldn't drink up all the whiskey that he was selling and be unreliable. So he could be there to sell whiskey to the peasants. You know, Cardinal Glenn, Russia that he is, was right. The Jews turned the Poles into drunkards because they were the ones who sold them the liquor. Nobody else could sell liquor. I mean, the Poles had Jews who did this for it. They were the only ones you could trust. They were the ones who could do business. And that's why you had these they were, you know, for the most part, that's what the term Yeshivna came from. These were people, they grew up and they lived all their lives in little places. And unfortunately, sometimes there were gifts written in these places. So the problem was, then what do you write? It's a crossroads someplace in the middle of a forest, in the middle of nowhere. You can't write the city. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, what am I supposed to write? Kretch and Plainy. There's no word Kretch in the Lashon Kodesh or in Aramaic. Okay. The word Malon he didn't know apparently. I don't quite know exactly. But what he says, there's no such word. And you know, so therefore he says, you're right. And the Kretchim had a name. It sounds to me like if you've been in England, you know that pubs have names. In Oxford, there's a pub called the King's Arms, right behind the Bodleian. The average IQ of people sitting in that bar is over 150. That's where all the Oxford professors chicker. They all go to the King's Arms. And then you have one, the Lion's Heart. Now they've got these names. And the pub is known by its name, not by its address. and you want to tell me you want to meet somebody for whatever you meet these places, you tell them, meet me in the Lion's Heart or the King's Arms, whatever it is. That's what these kretschmas have such names. So he says, you write the name of the place, Hasomo to wherever the closest the city is. That's how he deals with that particular problem. Now, in this country, it can happen. I don't know. There's the burning bush country club, which I see often enough in the New York Times. It's someplace on the Potomac. I don't know exactly where it is. For all I know, it's the middle of the city. But I do know that I grew up in an area. Country clubs were big things in this country, particularly out of major cities. And the country club was in the middle of no place. And the country clubs, I don't know, they didn't have names, but they weren't in populated areas. There was, you know, who knows where. And there was a favorite place for weddings. What do you write, the soup in those places? So, I mean, that is exactly what the Aruch HaShulchan is talking about. So he says that a kretschmer has a name, you write the name, otherwise you write the Migrash, Bechotzer, wherever it is. He says we don't have a Hebrew name for a kretschma, for an inn. I don't know the Hebrew name for a country club. I wouldn't know how to say country club in modern Hebrew. But I know.
Who?
Bunda. Bunda. That's Aramaic. Yeah, I don't know. He says we don't have a name for it. I don't know quite exactly. Because Pundits didn't sell whiskey. And these places provide, I think the whiskey was more important than the place to sleep. But, you know, these things more or less came together. Any event, that's his problem. The Shaila is what to do in all of these areas that aren't built up. And again, you've got problems with being Kiveya, the Shem of these various places. He, and the exists today in different ways. And you have to be Machriya, each one separately. You don't write the Shem of Medina, and it seems to me you don't write the name of the county either. I don't know the details, but there's Baltimore and there's Baltimore County. And Baltimore County has a lot of wedding halls, and maybe just one, I don't know how many there are, and nobody seems to know where it's located. Is it in an incorporated area? Is it not an incorporated area? You've got a problem with regard to, you know, to what you write there. So that's essentially this problem. He himself says that there was a place, he says, was a half a tfum Shabbos removed. There was a distance of a half a tfum Shabbos from the Vardik. I no longer remember what they called this little place. And he says it's not in the Vardik. Now, half a tfum Shabbos. How far is half a tfum Shabbos? You write only Teichi, Guru Shalir, you can write the name of the city. But a half a tfum Shabbos, what is it? 2,000 feet at most? 2,000 feet away, 2,000 feet without any houses, and it had its own little name, but it clearly wasn't the city. So he says you write whatever it was called, not Far, not Mose, and Somuch in the Vardik, with a Tzorachin, if you wrote in the Vardik, is it possible or not? It doesn't want to be in Makriya. But, I mean, those are the problems then, and they're not terribly different today. These problems arise, sometimes because you don't really know where the boundaries are, and that becomes a problem. In Mansi, when they go to Kredeya, Mansi as a city for Tziva Skitin, that gives you our capital article, it's there. They Mansi is not an incorporated area, but it's Nikra, Befiko, Mansi. The question is, how far, where are the ruling of Mansi? So there's one Mansi for the post office, and there's another Mansi for the water departments. They decided they would write it only in the area which is in all the maps called Mansi. And Kadoshi Mikorubo, I heard somebody tell me there's a place, Atrium Manor, that we were Kiveyas in Spring Valley. It was a chup a couple of years ago. Upon investigation, it became clear that this was in Spring Valley. I don't know what the problem is. So Kadoshi Mikorvo, they're writing Mansi in the Atrium Manor. Why they're writing Mansi, I don't know. Maybe because local people think it's Mansi. I have the vaguest idea. But, I mean, that's one of these borderline problems. You know, recently Thornhill in outside of Toronto. Thornhill, people assumed, was the name of a shkuna, and they didn't know what to write there. The city was called Vaughan, really what they should have been writing was von Mishitosan. So somebody went and they asked about Hankins of Ramel Rocha. Don't ask me what they told him, but they began writing Thornhill Hasmucha Litoronto. And quoting Dor HaShulchan, quoting this Dor HaShulchan, Kielu, this would be an unincorporated area that has no name, so you don't write anything except the name without any description, Hasmucha Litoronto. The problem is, it is an unincorporated area. I discovered that it, once upon a time, was what in Canada you call a police village, which was recognized by the government, certain government powers. And we have a principle, and it's still called, Jews call it Thornhill. They dissolved that, and they split it in half. One went to Vaughan, one went to some other place, and it was absorbed in some other entity. So it's like Brooklyn being absorbed in New York. We still write Brooklyn. So I wrote a ksuba to the consternation of at least one local rabbi. I wrote Mosa Thornhill. No, they write Thornhill as Mosa with Toronto, and I wrote Mosa Thornhill. It's the Mosa side I'm concerned. But Jews don't know what you'll say Vaughan, they won't know what you're talking about. You come from there?
Yeah, I know you're from
Vaughan. You know you're from Vaughan.
Yeah.
Okay. The people that talk to me say they call it Thornhill, they don't call it Vaughan. You know, in a get, you could convince me easily to write Mosa, you write Thornhill, the mystery Vaughan. And still, we don't write the mysteries, and I would not leave out Thornhill, because basically the Jewish population refers to it as Thornhill rather than to Vaughan. Now, you may know that it's Vaughan, but if I would have asked you where is this place, or what's the name of this place, I suspect your instinctive reaction would have been Thornhill rather than Vaughan. So it's not Mishtakach, and that's his old name, didn't get lost. Yeah.
So in the case of the hotel, it's in the middle of nowhere. Not an incorporated area, so we followed our other children. Just write the name of the hotel.
I would have written Malon and the name of the hotel. Asomu, with Asomu. He says, you know, this is also a Hebrew word.
Okay.
I think there is a Hebrew word.
Either way.
Hilton Asomu for Laraya, I think, right? In the town, whatever it is.
And Rebbe is mentioning incorporation regarding these halachas.
Basically, what the Jews call it, but they were gracious for all kinds of things, including, you know, who knows where the boundaries are, and when, you know, the what is it that we are called? For example, he gives this little place that was near Nagarbe. He says that the people in the city called its name. Anybody 10 miles away calls it Nagarbe. You will have in places like Munsi. Do you call it Muncie or don't you call it Muncie? Now, if everybody's calling Muncie, the post office calls it Muncie, the water department calls it Muncie.